Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host. And I'd like to ask you, how many times has life felt blocked? Have you felt blocked in fulfilling your goals, your purposes? I imagine often, if you're normal. But we can do a better job. And we need to learn how we get in our own way, how we overcome blocks, how we find new opportunities. And we can do that following some new guidelines that are being offered to us by the author of the book, Living in Flow. And we've had him on the show before, and it's great to be back flowing with him again. And it's Sky Nelson Isaacs. Sky, welcome back to Energy Stew.
Thank you, Peter. It's really great to be on your show again. I enjoy it every time.
Well, thank you. And I think what you're doing is really important because you're helping people find their way forward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I added the word forward.
Forward. As if there's a directionality to it. Yeah, right.
Right. There is, because we're born to think chronologically and behave that way, even though we know it's all an illusion. But then again, we're born to expect that and live that. That's why we're here. So you've really developed some science and understood science and how the synchronicity of life works to use it better to our advantage. And so let's talk about that, because I know that you are getting a new program going to offer this methodology to people who really want to, in a sense, get out of their own way. Maybe that's one way to say it. Or have life get out of their way in ways that it seemingly does.
Yes. You know, that speaks really to me. My writing of the book and creating of this course content is also my own exploration of getting out of my own way.
Uh-huh.
What I find in my experience, and that really resonates with everyone I talk to about this, is that we come into the world and we go through experiences and we respond to those experiences in certain ways. And we develop an identity from that set of experiences and the way we respond. We choose to respond to a parent who might be absent, or a parent who might be overbearing, or a parent who might be, some other quality that we have to adapt to. And in doing so, we develop an identity. And these can be wounds that we carry. And so we develop layers of conditioning. And I think it's fairly universal that we're all acting from these layers of conditioning. Like if you look at the world around us right now, what's really happening is the acting out of our conditioning in the world.
And it's not so simple, because our personalities are quite dynamic.
Yeah.
In ways that are both positive and negative too, in ways that we sabotage ourselves.
And we want to change. You know, we all want to become the best versions of ourselves. And sometimes we even know what that would look like because we get feedback from people that we care about or that we trust. And it can be hard to change. We try to change. We try to make changes in our lives and we find it difficult. Sometimes we never do in certain ways. The way that what this course offers that has been the essence of my experience is how to navigate and understand and experience the feelings that we're carrying. Because those conditionings that happen when we're younger, they are emotional responses to our situation. And they also become justified with our mind. You know, we have an experience in our body of fear or embarrassment or shame. And we tell ourselves a story that sort of protects us from that or reinforces that. Like, we're not at fault. I feel this shame and I must not be at fault because it was this person's fault. And all of that becomes how we identify as we get older, carry into adulthood. And so an essential part of the work of healing that is to allow in those very feelings that are still there. We're still holding on to those feelings of shame or embarrassment or anger or resentment. And so I've developed and provide in this course tools and practices to sit and allow in experiences that you might have been resisting so that you actually can experience them and take the time and the energy to experience them in a way that is authentic and allows you to then move beyond them and so understand other words, where they come from.
Maybe giving voice to our fears.
Yeah. Well, and it's not necessarily fear and it's not necessarily a scary process. It's all sorts of emotions that I continually am surprised by what's buried underneath there. You know, a lot of, sometimes it's joy and laughter that I have been pushing away because I, for some reason, I've got an emotional block against feeling that joy and laughter. So it's really just the allowing through the wholeness of who we are, of our authentic expression.
Right. And we have our survival mechanism going. So we might be afraid of joy and laughter because we feel it might distract us.
Right. Right.
From our job of overcoming our inadequacies.
Right. So if we have this pattern from childhood where we're really convinced that we have to overcome our inadequacies, maybe because that was modeled by a parent of ours, then it can become, like you say, difficult to step back and take a break and enjoy aspects of your life and feel the appreciation that you have in your life from people in your life, because your attention is focused on avoiding a feeling you don't want to have. So in the case of trying to prove our adequacy, you know, in the world, say professionally, what I would be doing is trying to avoid the feeling of feeling inadequate, which might be some kind of shame that I feel that I took on when I was younger. So if I want to avoid at all costs that feeling of being inadequate in my life. And so I have to fix it. I have to do things to step away from that.
Yeah, and this is really important because let's say we have particular goals that we're after that elude us because we're, let's say, even afraid of ourselves.
Yeah.
And therefore, the synchronicities of the universe don't show up the way we think they can because we're not willing to look at them.
Yes, absolutely. And synchronicity, I have an exercise I'd like to walk you through around synchronicity as a process of healing. Uh-huh. Because synchronicities show up in life in all sorts of ways. They're not positive things necessarily. They're neutral experiences, but they're meaningful. They're related to something that we're going through.
Right. I think they're positive in that they move us forward, even though they might move us forward in somewhat sometimes painful ways that we need to move forward that way in order to get to the good side.
Right. That's exactly my experience too. And so it's a good practice to be able to look at something that's happening and understand it in that context and not necessarily be frustrated when your car breaks down or when somebody cuts in front of you in line. Understanding that there might be some way in which it's serving you and being on the lookout for that.
Right.
So in this exercise, you know, I take the assumption that we start with some hidden feeling. So when we're dealing with wounds from our past, it's some hidden feeling that we don't know is controlling us. And like I was saying, that hidden feeling is compelling us to do stuff, to take action, to avoid feeling that thing. Mm-hmm. So if I feel shame, I feel compelled to lash out in anger or hide in my room to avoid contact or whatever it might be that I'm doing in order to avoid this feeling I don't want to have. So we're gonna stop avoiding and actually try and access what that feeling is so we can actually let it happen in our chest, you know, just actually have the sensation and understand where it comes from. And then from there, we're actually able to pretty easily let it go.
And that's wonderful.
So this, I can provide this worksheet in the show notes, but there's a diagram here.
Well, we're really on the radio, even though there is a video being done.
Oh, great. So I will
describe it.
Yeah, I'll describe it. So it's a circle. And at the start of that circle, you know, at one point in that circle, there's a hidden feeling. There's a picture of you with some kind of hidden feeling that you're not aware of. And we're all carrying these things around as we go through life. And then we have some experience. So I might be talking with a family member about doing work around the house. Like, I need you to empty the dishwasher for me. And this person says, you know, I emptied the dishwasher yesterday. I don't want to do it today. And I have a reaction to that because I've got a hidden feeling, which is that I'm always the one that has to pick up all the pieces and I work harder and people don't see it. So I feel unappreciated. And that's, let's say, my hidden feeling. But I don't realize I feel that way. I'm just carrying that from my childhood because that's the way I operated in my childhood also. And so I'm feeling this thing. I have this experience where my family member says, I don't want to do this job because I did it yesterday. And I choose to react unconsciously. So I have some reaction. I might get angry or say something passive aggressive. But it's pretty sure that that passive aggressive comment is going to make the matter worse, right?
Sure. I mean,
that's what usually happens. Right. So the other person picks up on it and we intensify this dynamic between us. So we're moving around this cycle on the circle here. And we're at the point of having intensified the dynamic that already existed. And now we're deeper than we were with the wounding, right? I could just create more of a wound. Like, I keep being the only one that ever does anything around the house, and I'm on my own to make sure things work. But there's another aspect here, which is that we have a deep inner desire to not have this experience happen. We have a deep inner desire to be healed of this wound. Uh-huh. And in our previous shows, I described how the key feature that brings about synchronicity is the anticipated experience that we have. The experiences that we anticipate in our bodies and our minds.
So that could be positive or negative.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So in this case, in the first part of the conversation, I'm anticipating that my family member is going to argue with me. So I'm actually ready for that synchronicity to happen where she does.
Well, you might even want it because you're unhappy about the circumstance.
Right, exactly. I'm looking for the argument.
Yeah.
But now at this point, I'm really in my grief. I'm really feeling pain around the situation. And so there's a deep part of me that doesn't want this experience. And it is anticipating, you know, like at the top level is the ego anticipating being right and wanting to win the argument. And so it actually creates more problems. But now at this point, I'm so hurt that my soul is anticipating, I want to heal this. I don't want to feel this forever. And so I've dropped down into the deepest part of myself now because I'm in pain and I'm anticipating circumstances which will heal me.
So what is the solution we're looking for?
That's a wonderful question. And this is the question we should be asking ourselves in life. At this point in the cycle, we don't know what's going to solve the problem. All we know is everything we try seems to make it worse. And this is what happens when we have repeated cycles and repeated patterns in our lives. They just keep happening and we keep having the same response and it keeps showing up the same way.
And when there's resistance from others, it feels very stuck because it's the others that are part of this, not, you know, we might have our own issues going on about it, but it's a family member or, you know, some associate that is throwing, you know, an obstacle in front of us that then, you know, we have to figure out how to relate to it.
Well, here's really the core message of my book, Living in Flow, really the last chapter. It essentially is, flow is a process by which we do not rely on others in order to solve the problem. Not because we're like shutting them out, but because when we act in flow, we naturally get into alignment and other people come into alignment with us. So there's some action I can take in this situation which doesn't rely on my family member changing.
So what does it rely on?
It relies on me changing. It relies on so here's where the next step happens. We're down at the bottom of the circle, about to get back to the beginning of the circle again. And because I'm anticipating something that will help me heal, my soul is done with this pain and wants to heal. What I'm doing is I'm putting apples on the tree. So I need to back up and explain this tree model again, because I've done it in previous shows. But the mathematics of quantum evolution is a tree where at every point there's a branching off of different possibilities. And if you can apply that model to our whole lives, which is the work that I do as a physicist, it's controversial, but it's justifiable, and that's what I try and show, then you have this tree of all the possibilities of your life ahead of you. And those possibilities which have the experience of you healing are the ones that you want to get to, right?
Right. But you don't know how to get there.
Right, you don't know how to get there. And this is where a process that I call meaningful history selection comes in to affect the situation. When you anticipate the experience you want to have, and in this case, it's a really soul level, right? Your inner soul is just yearning for some kind of relief from this pain. So it's anticipating feeling better. Then the top branches of the tree that have experiences where you heal, those are the ones you want to get to. Those branches grow apples in the metaphor. And so because they grow apples, they become heavier. And you can think about that as becoming more likely. Those branches become more likely in the future because you're anticipating them.
And more reachable.
And more reachable.
Yeah.
They become more likely to happen. And so you are more likely to get to them, to reach them.
That's great.
So it just
vision to have.
Well, it shifts the odds. But what does it shift the odds of? It shifts the odds of something right near you, something close to you on the tree happening, if it leads to a bunch of apples.
So what could that be?
So in this case, it's very likely to be another conflict, which gets at what you were saying, that synchronicities are not necessarily the things you're excited about or looking forward to. But so I've had this conflict where my family member doesn't want to empty the dishwasher, and I feel what I'm feeling about frustration. We end up going through that, we get it done somehow, and then an hour later, we need to take the garbage out. And the same conversation comes up. Synchronistically, that's actually a synchronicity showing up to provide the opportunity to heal.
So how would the healing be done for that?
And so the healing is done because in that cycle, I, as an individual, have taken time to meditate on it, to be self-aware and recognize, what am I feeling? Okay, when this person doesn't want to do the dishwasher, I'm feeling what? Oh, I'm feeling like it's up to me. And I did a whole bunch of other stuff, and that's actually not fair. But you know what? That's how I felt about my parents, or that's how I felt about my siblings when I was growing up, or that's how I felt with my friends. And I start to see the connections to other parts of my life, because I'm not having this argument in a vacuum.
Right.
And so as I begin to see those connections, then I actually gain a little bit of wisdom about what's going on for me. So then the next time this happens, I recognize, I separate from it a little bit, and I see that I'm reacting to an old pattern, an old situation with a family member, like my parents, and I can actually drop into what's happening here with this person and probably find space for some compassion that I wouldn't have had before, and choose a different action, which doesn't perpetuate the cycle.
Right, because it's self-limiting to be in that cycle of oppression. You know, you're oppressed by other people's disagreement, yeah, and don't know what to do about it. So I guess the idea is to take responsibility and not be as dependent on others to disappoint us. And just hold it as a positive direction to move in, being willing to take responsibility for ourselves, and who knows what apples are going to show up that make the whole thing easier.
Right, right. So maybe it looks like this. Maybe instead of, you know, the first time this happened around the dishwasher, I said something because I felt like I was trapped. I felt like either I had to do it for this person or they had to do it. And if they weren't going to do it, that meant I had to do it. But now that I see this, I've gone through the cycle and I have a little more understanding, I can see another option, which is that I'm not going to do it either, because that's my boundary. And so this person, it's reasonable that they would do it. And if they don't do it, then I can come up with what's going to happen next. I can come up with a different consequence that actually motivates them or allows them to feel my love and feel my respect for them while holding a boundary.
There are a lot of ways that this could fulfill itself.
Yeah.
Ways.
But what this indicates is that there are ways to address the conversation that don't involve reacting in a passive aggressive way, that right, that and don't involve the other person changing. It involved me changing and them responding to that change.
So it's a lot about self-knowing.
Yes.
And so a lot of what you're going to be doing in these classes that you're teaching is to help people align with their stories.
Yeah.
And, you know, their soul stories versus their ego stories.
Yeah.
And find more alignment with that, the greater purpose of our lives rather than the smaller purposes of our lives. I mean, ego purposes.
Right. I think when we align with the soul purpose or the deeper purpose of what we're really here to learn, we find that synchronicity tends to work in our favor in an expected way. It becomes more predictable.
Right.
What's a challenge is when we're trying to act out of our ego, like I need to get a job because I need to impress my parents, or I need to impress my spouse, or I need to get a job because I need not feel afraid of not having a job. What I'm really acting out of is fear. And I would not expect synchronicity to show up to like take care of that fear. The synchronicity is actually going to show up to demonstrate to me what I'm afraid of.
Right. And yet there are synchronicities that could show up that could lead you on a path of fulfillment that you're not familiar with.
Right.
So the more you can get out of your own ego way, the more you can be open to visualize or receive information that can move you in a more successful direction. Right.
Yeah. The more that we, the more we're stuck in our ego, the more life is going to show us that. It's going to reflect to us our pain and our separation. And we're going to get more and more into those wounds. Yeah. And we can do that. We can keep blaming others and not taking responsibility for our experience. And that's what we've done for a long time. You know, a lot of us, me for sure, in certain ways. And I think the path we're walking right now in history for collectively as well as individually is going the other direction. We're seeing these wounds and we're starting to take responsibility and peel them back instead of continuing to add more.
Right. And I've learned, you know, not to be in my way so much, but to trust the process better and allow things to show up that I wasn't expecting that actually have better solutions than what my ego is striving
for. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And this goes along with every spiritual tradition too, right? That says, yeah, you know, God works in mysterious ways, or however you want to phrase it, right. That when we can have an attitude which understands that there's this big branching tree above us, and whatever we're doing, we're placing apples on the tree that reflect our intention. Maybe it's an unconscious intention, but still it's our intention for healing.
But we're seeing apples on the tree that we're visualizing them that would fulfill our needs, but we might even, you know, be on the wrong branches, you know, that are ego branches versus soul branches. And we want to get more in alignment with the way the tree can feed us better.
Well, the beauty of that is that when we're on one of those branches that we consider to be wrong, because it's based on something we don't actually want at a soul level, like it's some ego thing we're trying to fulfill, the apples, the experiences that happen will automatically redirect us if we're paying attention. They will redirect us in the direction of our more aligned with our authentic self.
So your job is to help people see how that process works best for them.
Yeah. Yeah. And some of the things that are required are a willingness and an openness to see events in life, like a radical trust that every event in life is serving on this purpose of redirecting us.
I like that. Yeah.
That opens up a humility.
Because life is so magical if we just are able to read the magic.
Right. And a big part of my learning in the past period of time has been around self-criticism. So I carry a lot of tendency for self-criticism, and it feels very real. And it feels like if I just got things right, finally, when I evolve enough, I'll get things right most of the time and I won't have to criticize myself. Probably sounds a little silly, right? Because actually what I'm learning is that I keep doing things wrong or making mistakes and hurting people or dropping the ball here and there. And what can shift is my ability to handle and to hold myself through those criticisms or through those mistakes. and be my own colleague, be my own supporter, and not get sucked into the dynamic of self-criticism. Right. And part of the way I do that is by, like we were saying earlier, not resisting the feeling of shame that comes. Oh, I made this mistake again. I didn't meet a deadline I had. Shame comes right to the door, but I'm no longer afraid of it because I've worked with it. I've felt it a few times. I've understood where it comes from, and I can feel that, allow it to pass through me. And I realize that the truth of the situation is the people around me aren't actually feeling critical of me. So there's no reason to actually feel shame anymore. Right. It was just a habit.
That's great. So where do people go to find you?
So the course is hosted at the website www.theletteruthrivehere.com/livinginflow.
Wow, that's long. Okay.
Yeah, well, you can find me at skynelson.com, and there's links directly there.
Oh, okay, good.
Yeah.
Skynelson.com.
Yeah.
I like that.
I'm pretty easy to find, and the course is on that page. It's linked to from that page.
Okay, great.
And the course is an all-video course, which has exercises in each video. There's 18 or so videos with content, with deep content that's all original, and is intended to take you from a place of maybe stuckness or resistance to your experience, places where you find it difficult to change, even though you know how you want to change, and to do really rewarding inner work that allows you to move to the next level for yourself, whatever that is.
Positive, yeah.
Yeah.
I think a lot of us can see how useful this is.
So, and we do meet also twice a month online for a conversation, a sort of a loose conversation about the material and about what's going on for people as well.
That's great. Sky Nelson, thank you so much. And your book is Living in Flow, and we know your website now. So thank you so much for being on Energy Stew.
Thanks, Peter. Great to talk with you again. Thank you for having me.
Sure. And this is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Stew at PRN.fm. I can be reached at peter@heartriver.org. I'd love to hear from you, and thanks so much for listening. Thank you.